Hall and his friends have now been more than 48 hours on the Magic Island. And in these weird and terrifying surroundings, it seems much longer than that. However, they have found Mrs. Gregory's long-lost daughter, Joan. And though they are all prisoners of the mad scientist G-47, and the Gregory yacht is tied fast to one of the piers on the island of Euclidea, there is a spirit of hope on board, as Joan and her mother talk in Mrs. Gregory's cabin, while Jerry and Captain Tex Bradford are busy in another.
You should be in bed, Joan, dear. It's nearly 1 o'clock in the morning, and you must be tired after all this excitement.
No, Mother, I am not tired, even though Jerry said my eyes looked like two fried blankets.
Not exactly that. Jerry said your eyes looked like two fried holes in a blanket.
But that is even more impossible. It would be possible to fry a blanket, I think, if there were any reason for it. But to fry a hole, that is out of the question entirely.
You must learn to take all Jerry says with a grain of salt.
Take it with a grain of salt?
There now. I've done almost as badly as Jerry. You'll learn our strange way of speaking someday, my dear. We have a number of expressions that, while probably not correct English, make our meaning known and are in common usage.
I like everything you and your friends say and do, Mother. Captain Bradford is a fine man. And I like that foolish boy, Jerry, also. I would not like to see anything happen to him. But if he does not use more respect in speaking to G-47, I dread to think what the result will be.
Jerry is young and hot-tempered, but he's really a very intelligent young man. And with Tex to steady him, I think Jerry is no more likely to get into trouble than the rest of us.
I am worried about that little bird Jerry sent off, the homing pigeon. Something will happen to it. Mother, it is not easy to send a message from this island.
You're too afraid of G-47 and his group of scientists, Joan. After all, they're only human, and all humans make mistakes. I think the pigeon has a very good chance to get that message through to Johnson.
Even if the message does get through, what then?
Hi, Joan. Mrs. Gregory. Captain Bradford will be along in a minute.
I'm glad to see you in your own clothes again, Jerry. Yes, I think it was dangerous to have made that coat for you out of the opaque cloth. Someone might have seen you wearing it and thought you had the pigeon hidden under it.
The pigeon got away all right. That's the main thing.
But how can you be sure it got away safely, Jerry?
Well, the only place any of these scientists are is right on the island, inside that magnetic fog ring, isn't that right?
That is probably so.
Then if the pigeon got through the fog ring all right, there would be no way for anyone on the island to detect it.
No. Are you sure there was nothing metallic on the pigeon?
Oh, no danger there. But I feel that Jerry must have been seen as he turned the pigeon loose. It doesn't seem right that he could walk boldly to the stern of the yacht, take a homing pigeon out of his coat, release it, stand there and watch it disappear through the fog without being observed by someone on the island.
It's too dark out there for anyone to see anything.
But how about the glasses with which they see through the yellow darkness? It may have been dark to you and light as day to those scientists on the island.
Jerry, is the yellow darkness being used tonight?
Nope. Just plain old black dark out there. So dark you can't even see the sky.
Then G-47 and his assistants can see no better than the rest of us. They have nothing with which to increase their clarity of vision through natural darkness. It is only regarding the convenient dissipation of such artificial obscurity as has been created for their express purposes that they have attained any marked degree of efficacy.
Well, but what does it mean? Cut it up in little pieces so I can play too, will you?
Cut it up?
Now, Jerry, stop teasing Joan. You know perfectly well what she means.
Well, what if I do? She just thinks she's smart. Show off all those big words.
Is it that you do not understand the big words, Jerry?
Oh, I understand the big words, all right, but... Well, you're too stuck up.
Now, Jerry, Joan doesn't understand that, and I'm sure she didn't mean to be stuck up, as you put it.
Stuck up? I am afraid I do not follow you, Jerry.
You follow me, all right, but you'll never catch up with me.
Jerry, please don't be rude.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Gregory. I didn't mean to be rude, but... Well, I think she's trying to kid me.
No, she isn't. Joan is confused by all our slang, and she's quite right, Jerry. We do speak badly.
Yeah, I guess we do. I'm sorry, Joan. I didn't mean to make fun of you.
You are a nice boy, Jerry. And I know that if you say anything not nice, it is just because you do not know the correct manner of saying it. And I will gladly teach you how things should be done and said.
Oh, boy. This is sure something good.
Well, this seems to be a happy party.
I'm glad you're here, Tex. These two are almost beyond me.
Captain Bradford.
Yes, Joan?
Did you see or hear anyone near the yacht?
Not a soul.
Then there may be a bare possibility.
A bare possibility of what?
Joan has heard, Tex, about the pigeon. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right, Mrs. Gregory.
Safe enough to talk now, with all this cloth all over the cabin. All over the yacht, in fact. We can talk in safety, and all's well.
I do not feel sure all is well. How long has the pigeon been gone?
It's just half an hour since I turned it loose.
It should be 15 or 20 miles from here by now.
Yes, there's a little wind from the south, right on his tail. He should be making 40 miles an hour.
But will the poor little bird get lost flying at night?
Oh, those little fellows are smart, all right. I got about all those books on homing pigeons read. Have you got any more, Mrs. Gregory?
We've got lots more books on pigeons back home in Los Angeles. You can read them when we get home, kid.
Captain Bradford, why is it you call Jerry the kid? I thought a kid was a young goat.
Now you're getting what I got, Tex.
You're right, Joan. I shouldn't use that expression. But if we're around you long enough, you'll have our English all straightened out for us.
And Joan, there is one thing I must tell you. It's very rude for younger people to correct older ones.
Even if the older ones are wrong.
Give it up, Pat. We've got a lot to learn about each other, Joan, and it takes time. Now about the pigeon. Sure it got away, Jerry?
Oh, sure. It fluttered around a minute, acted kind of mixed up, then it got straightened out and took off through the fog due north. That is if this pier runs north and south.
It does. This is Pier 5, and directly across the island is Pier 11. The two piers are exactly north and south. Will the pigeon fly to the boat your Johnson is on, or will he fly to Los Angeles?
Oh, he couldn't reach Los Angeles if he tried to, but he won't try.
I think that is wonderful. Do you train them to do that, or do they do it naturally?
They're very carefully trained, Joan. Anyone can train them who has a little patience and will take a few minutes a day with them. We have many pairs of them in Los Angeles, each pair trained to go to a different place or type of place.
You start them out just a little way at a time, don't you?
The pair we carry on this yacht, the one Jerry just released and the other still in the coat, were trained to go to the boat Johnson is now using. And they will go to that boat no matter where it is. Though it seems easier for them if they make their long flights in the same general direction as their training flights.
Tell me about training them, will you please, Mother?
We started them when they were so young they really just flapped their wings and walked. It was hardly flying. The two boats were anchored side by side in the harbor, and we put a runway between them so the young birds wouldn't fall into the water and become frightened.
I read all about how to do that. You put their food and water at the other end of the board, inside a little coat, and taught them to go over after it. Isn't that it?
Yes, Jerry. And each day we increased the distance they had to go and kept raising their coat up the mast until they could fly into it easily and naturally.
That is wonderful, Mother. I think more wonderful than any of the scientific discoveries on this island.
The more we learn about science, any of the sciences, the more we learn how wonderful nature is. Did you ever stop to think that no matter how much we may learn about the universe and the things that make it up, we are only learning the things nature has known all along?
Gee, I never thought of it that way, but you're right. Here these little homing pigeons take off from a strange place in the dark and fly straight for a boat hundreds of miles away.
How long will we have to wait?
That'll depend on how far Johnson is from us when the pigeon meets his boat, and also on whether we will be allowed to receive a radio message when Johnson sends us one.
Well, suppose Johnson tries to send one of his pigeons to us. I mean, before ours gets to him.
That might be dangerous, Dick.
I think not. The chances are G-47 will discover this bird is missing at daylight, if he hasn't discovered it already. And by that time, the damage is done anyhow.
But Johnson would not know about the magnetic fog and all these things on Euclidea. Might he not use some metal to fasten the message to the pigeon?
He might, though we got some word of the magnetic fog to him in our first radio message. And Johnson is clever.
That fog wouldn't hurt the pigeon, would it?
No.
But the metal on it would set off the alarm, and the pigeon would be held through the fog until rescued.
The danger of that is, as soon as the magnetism was released, the pigeon would be frightened and confused and either fall into the water or get lost trying to get back to Johnson.
Yes, and if Johnson's boat is too far away, these young birds might not make the return trip.
Is there nothing we can do about it?
Nothing, dear. For if we acted as if we were too interested in that magnetic fog ring, it would only attract suspicion to us. The longer that pigeon is gone before G-47 knows, the better our chances are.
Right. Now, there's only one sensible thing to do. Took it right out of my mouth. It's two bells, time we all tried to sleep. Nothing more we can do tonight, and word won't help the little pigeon a bit. Come on, Jerry.
Good night, Mrs. Gregory. Good night, John.
Good night, Jerry.
Skipper will be on deck till daylight. Jerry and I'll take a turn now and then. Get some rest, Pat. Good night, Joan.
Good night, Captain.
And now to bed, my dear. First time we've really been able to go to bed in 2 days and nights.
It all seems too wonderful to be true, Mother dear.
Come here, Joan. Kneel down by your mother and we'll say our prayers together. Just as I've always dreamed we might say them someday.
I do not understand, Mother. What is it to say a prayer?
Oh, my dear little girl, with all your knowledge, I might have known it, of course. What would these mad Euclideans know of prayer?
Is it something I should know, Mother?
It's something no human being has ever lived happily without. I'll teach you the little prayer I said when I was a girl. A prayer I've waited 14 years to teach you. And you can say it after me, dear. 15 years old, and no one ever thought to teach you a little prayer.
Why do you cry, Mother?
What? Because I'm happy to know, dear, that with all your learning, there's at least one thing left for your mother to teach you. Now, repeat after me. Now I lay me down to sleep.
Now I lay me down to sleep.
I pray the Lord my soul to keep.
I pray the Lord my soul to keep.
If I should die before I wake.
If I should die before I wake.
I pray the Lord my soul to take.
I pray the Lord my soul to keep.